Let's pray together. Our Father, we come to you this morning realizing that it's your power we need. It's your word. It's your life. And we ask you together for a word from on high, a word from you to our own hearts, to our own needs, to our own situations. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to talk about the power of being different. And yesterday I was at the California Bluegrass Festival on Friday, at the Bluegrass Festival up at Grass Valley. Any of you ever been to that? Hey, got a couple of hicks here. What really surprised me, my daughter and I got there about 9:50, and it started at 10. At 10 o'clock, they stood up, had a flag salute, and then someone said, "Let's begin with an invocation." And they prayed. And they asked God's blessing on the people there and what they were going to do. And I looked over at my daughter and I said, "Wow, you don't see that very often." And you don't see that very often. Somehow we live in a society that in my lifetime has moved from one that recognized God publicly to one now where it is the exception. That was different, rather than the rule. And that's what surprised me, I guess. It shouldn't have surprised me, but here we are in California in 2006, and somebody actually prayed in a public place. We live in a culture that's not very friendly to Christians being public about their faith. If we are silent, however, we lose the ability to influence the people around us. And if we Christians cannot influence our society, we better just go hang up our spurs and go to heaven. God's called us to be an influence. The thesis of my message this morning is this: when you stop hiding who you really are in Christ, then you have the ability to influence others for Christ. I want to talk about today the power of being different. Of course, the problem is the fear of being different. Now, we worry about what people say about us. We worry about being criticized and belittled, and with good reason. All of us had parents. No, just kidding. Just kidding. No, actually, parents, good parents, don't belittle us. Good parents certainly do discipline us. Good parents teach us character, what's bad, what's right. They train us to behave and sometimes succeed, to mind, to do our chores. One thing we have to be careful to do, parents, is not try to strip our children of their individuality, but to encourage them in what they're good at and we find out and we start to see things in them, just encourage those and help nurture those. Good parents find a child's talents and strengths and encourage them. I think one of the places where we gained the fear of being different was in junior high school. Junior high school is that strange passage. How many of you survived junior high school intact? Well, I know I struggled in junior high school, and I had a family that encouraged me, but all the cruel names that they call you. I was called Fatso. I was called Brainy. What were you called? Any of you? Shout out. What were you called? Hippie. What else? Skinny. What else? Yeah, if they can find something different about you, they twist it, make it into an insult or a cruel kind of thing, and just throw it at you. And that's what junior high is mainly about. Making it through the gauntlet of junior high school is part of the task that we have to succeed. And so what we learn from this is, if you keep your head down, if you keep from being different, if you conform, if you suppress any kind of individuality, you might be okay. I think I told you when I preached before, one of the most cutting things, cutting to my heart, was at a high school reunion, whatever it's been, 25 years or whatever it was after graduation, one of my classmates said, "I didn't know you were a Christian." And I kind of, that hurt, because I think I had my head down way, way, way too much. And somehow, as Christians, we need to recover. We need to hold our head up. We need to not be afraid of being different any longer. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I'd like us to read it together off the screen. Do not conform. Okay, all together now. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. That's the task for Christians today. Now, there's a joy in being different. Once we get past the junior high thing and discover that there is a joy in being different, there's a wonderful Psalm 139 that reads this way: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And this psalm teaches God made me. And He made me different. And this isn't so that we can applaud our sinful tendencies, and all of us have them. This is so that we can celebrate the diversity of God. Somehow, I think God just has a blast making things different. I mean, if you've ever taken a walk in the country and start to look at the leaves of trees that are the same species, you start to realize that God would get bored if they were all cookie cutter. And so each leaf has its individuality. Each flower, if you look carefully, is different. And God made the whole world this way. He set up the biological process to create diversity, not to create things all the same. That isn't His plan. His plan is to create us differently. Yeah, we have a lot of things in common, but each of us has things God has created differently. Nobody has your fingerprints. Nobody has your values or your abilities or your perspective. God made you unique. And then each of us has a unique spiritual gift mix, I guess I'd call it, which is made up of spiritual gifts that God's given you in order to build up His kingdom. And passions. We have different passions, and we're made differently, and it comes out differently. And different personalities. I mean, some of you are a character. And God made you that way. And it fits with who God is making you to be. If you can discover who you are in God and rejoice in it, then you start to get healthy. Then you become mature. Maturity is not being old. I mean, there are some people who are old and not mature. Have you ever noticed that? Sexual maturity is old enough to be able to reproduce. Social maturity is accepting who you are and being able to express it. My mother was in a nursing hospital up in Auburn for 3 or 4 years. I got to realize that some of those people there who were in their 70s and 80s and 90s, they were a bunch of characters. I mean, some of them were all tight, but some of them just kind of let it hang out there, and they were who they were, and that was it, and that was okay. And so much of the time, we restrain ourselves so that we can't really be who we are, and we're the poorer for it. And then there is spiritual maturity. And I believe that one characteristic of spiritual maturity is accepting who you are in Christ and being unafraid who knows it. And that's what we need to work with. We're afraid, many of us, too often, who knows it. We're afraid what they will think of us. We're back in junior high again. And I'm not just talking about you, I'm talking about me. I struggle with this. What do they think? What do they think? God calls us to maturity, being who we are in Christ, and not being afraid what somebody else might think of it. So who are you in Christ? I was just looking in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, and sort of ticking off the things that Paul says we are. We are chosen by God. We are predestined according to God's plan. We are purposefully adopted as sons and daughters of the living God. We are redeemed or bought by His blood. We are forgiven of all our sins. We are instructed in the secrets of the kingdom of God. We are marked with a seal, the Holy Spirit of God. We are special. We are specially loved by God. You are specially loved by God. If you hear me today, I want to say a word to you. God loves you especially. No. God loves so-and-so and so-and-so, but I don't. Yes, God loves you especially. He cares about you especially. He knows you well and loves you. You're unique in all the world. You, in all your intricacy, were planned by God. You are cherished by God Himself. And God has a purpose and a plan for you. It's wonderful. And He's rolling it out for you as you're willing to walk in it. He's given you a sphere of influence. He's given you a group of friends and family who nobody else has. Have you ever wondered about your friends? If I weren't praying for them, I wonder if there's anybody that's really praying for them. You ever wondered that? There's some people whom God has uniquely entrusted to us to care for spiritually. God's called us for that. So we've talked about the fear of being different and the joy of being different. I want to talk now about the power of being different. Here's a passage that after 30 sermons, I'm sure you're well acquainted with. So I'd like you to read this out loud with me. All right? You ready? Let's do it. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father. Those are Jesus' words. Those are Jesus' instruction. Those are Jesus' marching orders for spiritual maturity for you and for me. Who you are in Christ. Be who you are in Christ. Be who you are in Christ. One of the problems we have is that we're one person in the world and another person at home and another person at church, and we're sort of chameleons blending in with the background. God's called us to be who we are in Christ. That's who we are. Well, I don't know who I am. I know, join the club. We all have to work through that. But my encouragement to you is, if you want to find out who you are, get to know God, the Creator, because He's made you. And you will be at your best when you're walking through life with the one who created you and knows your purpose. You are different for a purpose. You're a special tool in God's hands. You are just what is needed in certain circumstances. Say, well, God doesn't need me. I don't believe that. God created you. God needs you. God cares about you. God wants to include you in part of what He's doing and part of His kingdom. And He has fashioned you with certain experiences and certain backgrounds and certain skills and certain aptitudes so that you, in God's hands, can do God's work with beauty and precision, with great results. God's made you. God's made you. God's made you. God's made you. I think I've shared this before, but one of the things that has been amazing to me, I guess, is I've had this newsletter over about a decade now, and every week it reaches 125,000 people about internet marketing. And I kind of write a little introductory paragraph, and since the beginning, I've kind of signed off as, God bless you, Ralph. It's amazing to me how many emails I've gotten over the years from people who tell me that it is grossly inappropriate for me to say, God bless you. I got an email about a month ago from someone in England. And they said, here in England, it is considered extremely unprofessional to mention God in a business context. Now, I do get a lot of emails from people that say, oh, thank you for your courage. Courage? What God has been showing me through this is, I've got to be who I am rather than who they want me to be. You need to be who you are, who God's made you to be, who God's called you to be, not what they say you should be, but what God says you should be. And just do it. I mean, to write God bless you is certainly no courageous act. I don't think God calls us usually to martyrdom. And if He does, it's only once. I mean, what can you say? But He does call us to live for Him. He does call us to stick up for Him and be His person, His man, His woman in a certain situation and not back down because someone's trying to play junior high on us again and again and again and again. Grow up, dear brothers and sisters. And I'm saying that to myself. Grow up, Ralph. Grow up that we might live and be who we are, different. God's called us to. How? Deliberately. Deliberately. Now, maybe after a while we get used to this, but for me, at this point, it's still deliberately. Deliberately remind yourself who you are. Deliberately, when you feel the pressure to conform, deliberately encourage yourself to be unafraid. Deliberately pray for opportunities to influence others. And deliberately trust in God to use you. Deliberately. I was down in Los Angeles last week, and I'd prayed at the beginning of the day, you know, God be with me, I need your help today. And I was really meant it. And it was kind of interesting. One of the guys at the Tuesday morning breakfast that I teach, Steve Dunlap, was on the plane, sat next to me. We prayed together for his day and for my day. Anyway, on the way back, I always pray for the exit row. I don't always pray for it. I always aim for it because there's more leg room. And I always tell the stewardess, oh, I've had plenty of experience throwing doors out off the plane, you know. And I can put my laptop up there and, you know, get a little bit of work done during the flight. Anyway, on the way home, I was in the A group on Southwest Airlines, if you know what that means. It means I got on first. And I, down the aisle, sit down in the exit row window seat this time. Usually I'm on the aisle person. Anyway, window seat. And this other guy sits on the aisle. I said, why didn't I sit there? Anyway, and then this lady came by, and she sat down. And so, as my custom is, I introduced myself to the people sitting next to me, and we chatted a little bit. And so this lady, her name was Alma, and she was going up to Sacramento to visit her mother. Where are you from, Alma? Well, I'm from Encino. I said, well, gee, you know, I used to pastor a church down in Tarzana, which is right next to Encino. That's my old stomping grounds, and we talked a little bit. And then she took a little nap, and I worked on some stuff on my computer, and I put my computer away about 20 minutes going home, and I was kind of praying, Lord, how can I talk to Alma? Well, she said, you know, she woke up, and I put my stuff away, and she said, well, I go to Our Lady of the Valley Church. I'm Catholic. My husband is Christian. She meant evangelical Christian. And she said, what do you think about praying to the saints? She says, I have these little saints around the house, and I pray to them. And I said, well, the Bible says that Jesus said that we could pray to the Father directly, and he'd hear us. But I knew that wasn't really the issue, and so I asked one of those questions. Evangelism Explosion calls them the key questions, and one of them is, this is kind of a bold question, but hey, I've been praying, so Alma, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And her reaction was physical, kind of like, no, kid you not. And so I explained to her how Jesus died to forgive her sins and to cleanse her, and that she could have confidence in Jesus Christ. And I encouraged her, you can invite Jesus Christ to come into your life and forgive your sins. This is how you do it. And I kind of outlined a little prayer that she might be able to pray. And I said, would you like to pray this? Expecting a no. It's the level of my faith. See, and she says, yes. So I prayed a phrase, and she prayed a phrase, and I prayed a phrase, and then she repeated after me, and she invited Christ into her life at 22,000 feet on the way into Sacramento. Why? Because in some small measure, I'm getting less afraid of who I am. And in some small measure, I'm trying to listen to what he wants to say. And in some small measure, I'm trying to be sensitive to the people around me and realize God's called me to be somebody. He's called you to be somebody. I don't know who he's going to put next to you tomorrow or the next day or at the Rockland Jubilee if you're up there helping us talk to people about Christ. But God will use you if you're unashamed of who you are. And you're aware of who he is and who he made you to be. God cares. The wonderful thing is, it's wonderful and it's sad, is that people around us are hurting. All around us are hurting, and they're ready for something else. Okay. Well, people don't care about, you know, religion. And we live in Rockland, and Rockland's full of a bunch of rich panty waists that don't have any problems. That's not true. That's not true. How many unhappy marriages are there in Rockland? How many children and spouses are being abused in Rockland? How much drug use is going on? How many parents are struggling with raising their kids? How many are unhappy in their jobs? How many feel unfulfilled and wonder, is there something more than what I've got now? How many people feel unloved and need love, desperately need love? How many people are sick and wonder if anybody really cares? They're in Rockland. They aren't someplace else. They're right here. How many people have had a loved one die in the last day or two or week or 2 weeks and are struggling with grief? You know, when people are going through it, and people are going through it around us continually, when people are struggling, they're much, much more open to reaching out to God. I learned after we had prayed together that Alma had had a test for cancer earlier that week and didn't know what the result was. Monday she'd find out the results of the test. That may have had something to do with her openness and her desire to kind of get... I didn't know that. God knew that, and He kind of stuck her down in the seat next to me. God's putting people next to us all the time. For so much of my life, so many times I think I've been oblivious to God and what He's doing. And I'm so caught up sometimes in my own self. And you are, and we are, that God can put people next to us and we're not aware. God, change it. God, change it in me. God, change it in you. Make us people who are unafraid to be different. You may be here this morning on Father's Day. Maybe your dad or grandfather dragged you here.
You're going to come and be here on Father's Day because, you know, it's what we do in family. And
you're here. And I got a word for you, and the word is this. Oh, there's joy. There's joy in knowing who you are. There is joy in the Lord. There is the joy of love, being loved by God. You may say, you know, I wish I knew those things you were talking about, being loved by God, but I want to tell you there is joy and there is acceptance in Him. And there is purpose for you in your life. And finally this. You will never be fulfilled outside of knowing your Creator in a personal way through Jesus Christ. If you want fulfillment, that's how it comes. It's the only way it comes. He loves you. You're here for a reason. God called you to be here to hear a word of good news for you and a word of encouragement. You've got your life ahead of you, many of you. God's calling you. God's speaking your name. I love you. I care about you. I give you purpose. Come to me. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It's good news. It's good news. In a dark room, even a small lamp sheds a lot of light, unless it's shielded or hidden or covered up. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. You know us. You know what's going on in us, oh God. You know our fears. You know our weaknesses. You know our strengths and our joys. You know, oh Lord, what you've given to us, and we're just scratching the surface. Oh God, open us up to you today in a fresh way. Lord, I pray for those who are here this morning that know they don't really know you. They don't know who they are. They don't know what the joy is. They don't know your love. They haven't met you. But Lord, you're working in their heart. You're speaking to them. I pray for them, oh Lord. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you're here this morning, you're one of those people, you want to come to God, you need to come to God, just lift your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to pray for you. Anybody here? I need to come to God. I need God in my life. Anybody? Father, we thank you because you were faithful. Now I pray that you would set us on fire in this church and let our lights blaze, O God, to the world in which you put us, that the light of Christ in us might overcome the darkness around. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.